it's wonderful to be back again. Amen. As we expect the teacher for today. Amen. Sing, Lord, we come to you. Sing it like you mean it now. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we come. This morning, as the song is being sung, we come to you in worship, Lord. Oh, no matter what
the circumstance, no matter what the situation,
while we are waiting, it's all these cables and the equipment.
equipment not working, and it must put Brother Vegas under a lot of pressure. Just want to say we understand, Brother Vegas. You are doing a very good job. So without taking too much of your time, I would like to turn in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, for our Sunday school class this morning. Romans 8, verse 1. Paul writing, and he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for your grace this morning. We glorify your name. Thank you for this opportunity that we can have Sunday school in this room, Lord. Father, thank you that we can have song service. We can hear the preaching of the word. All these things, Lord, Father, we are under great expectation that you will meet with us in any one of these places today, Lord. Amen. I pray, Father, if there are some, Lord, that are troubled this morning, that you may help them and set them free, O God. Father, even through the singing of the songs, let people be set free and, Lord, worship you with all joy, Lord. I pray through the preaching of the word that you break the strongholds of the enemy this morning, and that, Father, O God, if any would be sick, they would be healed, Lord. Father, whether it be physical or spiritual, Lord, for your word heals, Lord. You are our healer. And we are looking to you this morning. Grant us grace now as we look into the word, Lord, for this Sunday school, committing the children's classes also that have started now. We ask, Father, that you may come and minister to us. And I pray that you grant me grace, Lord, and strengthen me this morning to be used of you, Father, to speak thy word this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. I wasn't exactly expecting to be here this morning, but my deacon, I call Brother David my deacon, he's my personal deacon, you know. He's discovered a little bit of a secret on me, that I do all I can to be obedient to God's servants, so when they call, I answer. So he called me and I answered, and here I am. We thank God for good deacons. So we are just reading there in the book of Romans chapter 8, and it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." And I just wanted to speak a little bit on this topic. Perhaps that maybe it will help someone. It's something that I've been thinking on for quite a number of weeks now, and I was hoping that when Brother Maxwell finishes the church ages, then I would come and do a few Sunday school lessons on this lesson. But I'm away next week, so we'll just get started today and we'll see how the Lord will lead. Condemnation, and it's something spending a lot of years with the saints and helping one another and trying to raise our children the right way and all the things that happen among our interaction, I find that a lot of people that have got certain issues that trouble them, it always goes back to self-condemnation. They condemn themselves, you know. And it's too bad because it says in the word, there is therefore now no condemnation. Right. You know, God himself is not condemning you, but you are condemning yourself. Yeah. And there is no way that God, you could ever really use your faith the correct way towards God's word when you are condemning yourself. Right. Because in the Bible, in the book of 1 John chapter 3, it says, "If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God." So in other words, if your heart is condemning you, how can you have confidence towards God? It's not possible. You can't receive anything from God when you are lacking faith, because everything is based on faith. So when your heart is condemning you, this is something that we got to deal with before we can receive anything of the Lord. And so I'm praying this morning that it's something that we can begin to lay a little bit of a background on. And then by God's grace, when we move into Charlestown and settle down, maybe I'll get a chance to do a few lessons on this. And so condemnation, it really troubles a lot of people today, especially among us Christians. You know, perhaps sometimes maybe because we have not heard something, or there's many reasons why, but it's something that is within you. It's an inner feeling that you get, that I'm guilty, an impending doom, that God is going to judge me for what I did, you know. And it's a real slick a feeling, the feeling of condemnation. But we have to deal with it. And it's a tricky feeling because it's got some level of guilt that comes with it. And conviction also brings with it a level of guilt. So you could confuse the conviction and condemnation if you didn't know what the difference was. But on the other side as well, condemnation, you find sometimes people would say, oh, I'm not worthy, brother. And it's a good attitude to take that, Lord, I'm not worthy that you could use me. But when God wants to use you, go with all boldness and confidence that God is going to use you. But when you're condemning yourself, you know, you can beat yourself into a place where people would think, the brother is being very humble, but you are actually blocking the Lord from using you to do what he wants to do because of self-condemnation. So you got to know what it is and deal with it, and then move on with your life because the Lord wants you to be happy. Do you believe that? Amen. The Lord wants you to enjoy life as a Christian. He wants you to do exploits, and I don't see how you can do them when all you're doing is condemning yourself. Or maybe he's gonna, my sins will find me out now. It's too bad, but it happens. So conviction, the way it is different to condemnation, conviction is when a sense of guilt comes upon you because you are a sinner. You know, the word is preached, maybe God meets you in a certain way or in a certain place and through somebody saying something, and it brings conviction to you to know that I'm a sinner and the Lord died for me to take away my sins. So you begin to feel guilt that you are a sinner, but it also brings a way of dealing with that guilt. And the way to deal with that guilt is that Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross, and he is willing to take away my guilt to make me right again. So it's preached and you begin to feel this conviction, I've got to get right with God. I'm not right with God. I've sinned against my Lord. And so you go and deal with it. Lord, I'm very sorry for what I have done. And I thank you that you died for me. And so when you deal with it the right way, the conviction goes away. And in its place comes relief, joy, reconciliation. Oh my, and we begin to sing, happy day, oh happy day, that I believed on the Lord Jesus. No wonder in the book of John, if we look in the book of John chapter 3, Jesus Christ himself, he speaks when he was talking with Nicodemus. And he says in the book of John chapter 3, a little bit down that conversation, and he says, for God so loved the world, verse number 16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. And I believe that you believe on the Lord Jesus here this morning. So there is no condemnation if you believe on the Lord Jesus, because here is the highest authority itself. And it says that he that believes on him is not condemned. And I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not condemned. And the preacher does not come to condemn you either. He's coming to bring salvation to you, not to condemn you.
just like the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world, so neither should you condemn yourself too, because God himself is not condemning you. And he says, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So here is the grounds under which God condemns a person. When you have not believed, salvation has been presented to you. The Lord has done this and that to come and present salvation to you, and you refuse it. Then you are condemned. Here he says, verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So here is light presented to you, and you refuse the light, and you want to hold on to your deeds of darkness. Then condemnation comes. And what is to condemn somebody is to make them go through the judgment. And so when a soul is condemned, it's going to have to go and pay for what it did. And so when we are looking at the topic of self-condemnation, because there is the condemnation that comes from here that we are talking about, that we just mentioned in these scriptures, but self-condemnation is now when you become the judge over your own life, because God is the judge over our lives. Now, when you become the judge over your own life and you condemn yourself to say, I'm guilty and I must serve the sentence, that is self-condemnation. And so many people get plagued by it. You know, every time something small happens, because many times when we are talking of these things, you might not feel or think about it, but really let something happen in your house and the child gets sick, and the first thing you think, when you think like that, you're condemning yourself. Because the first thing you think is, oh, maybe God is punishing me for what I did. How can he do that? When he says that, he that believes on him is not condemned. So how can it be that the child gets sick and the first thing you think is, God is judging me. My sins have now come to find me out. No, you haven't done it. You haven't done something right. You know, because when conviction comes upon you because you are a sinner, you are born a sinner, and you deal with that, there is now no more condemnation. Now, people do wrong things and they go make it right. And when you make it right, you must believe that the Lord has forgiven. Not to say now something has happened and the first thing we think about is, it must be because of what I did when I was 16 years old. Hi! People judge themselves so harshly. And you see this with dealing with the people. Something happens and you go and try to sit down and talk together. Everything always goes back to that. They just can't seem to hold on to the victory of salvation. They always default and go back to maybe what I did when I was 16. My. And here's somebody 45 years old. And still condemning themselves for something that even God himself has forgiven them. But they still become judge over their lives and condemn themselves for something that even God himself has forgiven them. It's too bad. It's too bad that people do that. They say, I'm not good enough. God will never forgive me for what I did. And how can now you have confidence in God when you are doing something like that? I would like to read for you in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, I believe. God speaking to Ezekiel. And he says something, I believe, from verse number 11. Say unto them, this was God speaking to Jeremiah, to tell the people, the children of Israel. And he says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It does not give God any pleasure. In my country where I come from, we had such a terrible dictator over the whole country. And the people would sing songs about the day that he would die, how they would rejoice. But God does not rejoice in the death of the wicked. Here he says it. He says that Say unto them, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turns from his wickedness. So here is the grace of God. That here is a man who is a wicked man, who's done wickedly all his life, but the day that he turns from his wickedness to righteousness, God says he will not fall. His wickedness will not be counted for him. I think he even explains it in verse number 19 in the same chapter. He says, but if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live by that. The thief at the cross. Yeah. Imagine all his life thieving and people stealing people's things. And then right there on the cross, he turns to righteousness and he dies the very moment. And there he was in paradise. Huh? The grace of God. And look at you, you are trying. You are actually trying to live a Christian life. So why would God condemn you when somebody could be like this sinner, this thief on the cross, and he forgives him just at the last minute? He never had a chance to live a Christian life. And that wickedness that he did, God does not count it. Why? Because he has no pleasure at all in the death of the wicked. God wants you to live. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to enjoy his blessings. I would like to mention three cases that perhaps will help us look into this a bit more. The first one being the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And they brought her to Jesus in the book of John chapter 8. And they brought her to Jesus and said, what will we do now with this woman? And Jesus was writing in the sand, and they kept on pressing him, and he says, yeah, you cast the first stone if you have not seen yourself. And verse number 11 in the book of John chapter 8, verse 10, and when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Caught in the very act of adultery. And here is the Lord dealing with the issue. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And it's very easy for this woman now to go home and begin to condemn herself, because that's a grievous thing that she had done. But here's the Lord himself saying, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. But she goes home, and the first thing, the child gets sick. She must think, my sins have come to find me out. You can't live like that. You can't be a real true Christian that enjoys the blessings of the Lord and that becomes a blessing to other people when you are living your life with impending doom over your head. Say, one of these days he's going to find me out. God is not unrighteous. When God says you are forgiven, you are forgiven. When he died on the cross and he atoned for your sins, he atoned for your sins. And he says, your sin will I remember no more. You might remember it, but God himself does not remember your sin. It's us many times who go back to remind him, to say, what I did. And he's like, what? When did you do that? Why? Because you are justified. But we use it and we give it to the devil, and it becomes a stick in his hand to really beat us down. And he says, I condemn you. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. And then we don't know how this woman lived her life after this. So there's no way to tell what happened with her. I believe she became one of the disciples that followed Jesus around. But we do know about Peter and about Paul, because they also had things to deal with that can be very, very difficult to process mentally. And that's the reason why a lot of people go into self-condemnation, is because they are trying to deal with it the wrong way. The way to deal with anything is to go to the cross. Jesus Christ died for your sins. You believe in that, and now there is no more condemnation. But what people try to do is to deal with something mentally, and it never works. It will always bring you back to the wrong place. Because here is Peter walking down with Jesus, and he says, now the Son of Man is ready to be given over and so forth. And he says, far be it from you. I'll never let it happen. Huh? Yeah, that's a good zero for the Lord, yeah? But then he says, you are going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows. And then the situation, the circumstances change. They take Jesus by night and they bring him before the high priest and all these things. Somebody comes and says, I know you. You were with them. He says, I don't know you. I don't know what you're talking about. And they keep talking to him about this. And the third time he says, I know not the man. How will you deal with that mentally? To deny the Lord in his hour of need. And even when he denied Jesus, and the cock even crowed, in the book of Luke, I think, it says, Jesus then turned and looked at him. Then when Peter saw Jesus looking, he remembered. He hadn't even remembered. And it says in one account that he even denied him with a curse. A curse word. How do you deal with that mentally? I think Peter must have thought about it a few times after that. Say, I denied the Lord. I denied the Lord. But look how God used Peter after that. You think that if Peter was always thinking of impending doom, that God would have used him the way he used him? No. What about Paul? Paul, when he was still called Saul, it says he went from city to city, wreaking havoc among the Christians. I mean, he would come in here and hell all of us into prison. Some of the people that he had put in prison were killed there because of him. Even some, like Stephen, it was Paul who consented to the death of Stephen and stood there holding his garments while they stoned Stephen to death. That's a serious thing to be the one to give consent to. How do you deal with that mentally? How do you rationalize that to say, how am I going to atone for this? Because that's what happens, really, when you're self-condemning. You are thinking that you can do something to atone for your own sins. You can't. It will never, ever work. The only way is to go to the cross and accept the Lord Jesus, and he died for your sins, and he says, now there is no more condemnation. That is how to deal with it. But when you are trying to deal and rationalize things, some people would be like, I didn't tell my mommy what I did when I was 12 years old. And now mommy is gone to be with the Lord. How are you going to fix that now? Because mommy is not there for you to say, mommy, I'm sorry I deceived you when I was 12. And they can't deal with that. I mean, you're trying to deal with it the wrong way, and you will always condemn yourself. Not having a watch, you will forgive me if I go over time. I forgot my phone over there. What's the time? 5 minutes. There's no more bell these days. Huh? So it's too bad. But Paul, having experienced the things that he experienced, things like this, that even when you try to think what must have been going through his mind after he became a believer and now going to the very same people to preach to them. Some of them were like, what? Who? Paul? Today they say Paul is coming to preach. It's a trick. We are not going. Because he was very, very serious and zealous for the Lord in the things that he did. But Paul, he says, forgetting things that are past. Yeah, you can't deal with it. You've got to just forget it, because that's what God does too. He forgets things that are past. He says, I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. And that is exactly the thing that you and me must do, is that the Lord died for my sins. And he came here not to condemn me, but to save me. He God doesn't want you to live your life scared and beat down. That's the devil who wants that to happen. No, he says, I want to give you an expected end. He says that I have good thoughts for you. Thoughts to bless you, to help. That's what God wants you to have. Not to be beat down. Brother, please, can you help putting water on the pulpit in the church? And be like, hey, brother, no. Me, I can't do that, you know. I've done too much wrong in my life. You see, always going back to that. But God didn't save you just so you can sit there. That's all. Is that all? Sunday, come to church, go back home. Sunday, come. No, that's not why God saved you. He wants you to be a son and daughter of God. He wants you to be a representative of the kingdom of heaven today in this world, not in the future world. Who are you going to witness there to? It is now that we must make exploits. It is now that we must be sons and daughters of God. And so it's time we put away all this condemnation and believe that I am saved. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Because this world is waiting, the Bible says. It's groaning to see the manifestation of who? Of you and of me. Isn't it time, Sister Grace, that we become what we are supposed to be because God has taken away our sins? That's a glorious thought. To think right now when God looks at you, he's not looking at you through the eyes of man. Remember when Brother Branham walked into this restaurant and he looked at this woman there sitting there the way she was and the policeman playing all this here, some kind of a gambling machine and things like that. And what he felt there, to say, Lord, can't you just do away with this whole sight here? And God called him on the corner and he says, you are condemning them, but I don't condemn you. Isn't that wonderful? The way that God looks at us, the way he looks at you. He's looking at you today, Brother Elson, and he sees the blood of Jesus. Amen. And that has been accepted for you. And in his eyes, you are righteous. There is now no more condemnation. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, these few words, these few thoughts, Father, but we bring them to you, Lord, and ask that you may make them real unto us, Lord. For Lord, many a time the enemy comes through our minds, Lord, to try and beat us down. And we give him that room, Lord. But here in your word, it says there's now no more condemnation. Help us, Father, that this may become a reality and that we may rise up, Lord, and take our rightful positions in the body of Christ and do exploits for thy kingdom. Bless us this afternoon, Lord, even as we would go now into the song service. We commit it into your hands. We pray for the song leader, the musicians, that you may use them mightily, Lord. Father, oh God, to break every stronghold of the enemy. Lord, that your people could be truly free this morning to worship you. Grant grace, Lord, unto our pastor as he waits on you. We pray that you strengthen him and that, Father, oh God, when he comes, Lord, you may use him to speak unto us once again. Bless the saints that are not here with us. We commit them into your hands that have traveled, their families on holiday. Please, Lord, watch over them and bring them back home safely. We commit now the remainder of this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, saints.